Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
From Barangaroo Studios, the AusBiz COB is the key stuff you need to know about the day in business and finance.
Well, hello, hello. You are listening to the COB podcast here from AusBiz. It is November the 24th. It's a Wednesday. I'm David Scott. Luckily enough, joined today by Annette Beecher. Annette, look, it's been a pretty big macro day.
It has been a huge macro day. And incidentally, the 24th, I assume the turkeys are in the oven. Those buggers take hours to cook.
You're talking about the bird or you're talking about the lira?
Oh, gee, I'd rather a bit of turkey than the Turkish lira. What a mess. And in terms of today, I know no one wants to talk about Q3 GDP, but, you know, when you've got Annette Beecher, you've got to do the macro. And construction work done turned out to be better than expected. And I guess the reason why I'm highlighting it is everyone's written off Q3 GDP here in Australia as a complete write-off. But guess what? Retail sales, slightly better than expected. Construction work done, slightly better than expected. And we get CapEx tomorrow, which is also expected to be dire. But, you know, I'm thinking if this is as bad as it gets, geez, this fourth quarter could be a blockbuster and the RBA has really got some work to do.
Yeah, it's already behind the curve. We already had this discussion many a times. It doesn't think it is, but we think it is. So we'll see what the new year brings. Speaking of behind the curve, RBNZ. Now, Adrian Orr, he's got a nickname Shock and Orr, but it was Shock and Bore today. So the RBNZ went 25 instead of 50 basis points. So they hiked to 75 basis points for the cash rate.
Yep.
There was a small possibility that we might have seen a 50 going in there, both from the economist community and the market pricing. But it's the upgrades to where they expect the cash rate to go in the years ahead. That's probably the real talking point.
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, I had a quick look. It's a 60-page doco. So I think I got to about page 40 before I found that forward track. And it does compare the August expectations, which at the time, I hasten to add, was just over 2% in the long run. Analysts back then said that was too aggressive. So here we are, fast forward 3 months. This is the November MPS. Their forward track is now 3+. In the forward estimates. And why that matters is the RBNZ says that 2% is neutral. So instead of this meandering to neutral that everyone else is talking about, they're full pelt ready to go into tightening territory. So that 25 basis points today is completely misleading. They're already admitting they're behind the curve.
One of the really interesting things in this statement as well, there's lots of interesting things that the RBNZ pointed out, but it was that discussion about what's transitory and what's not when it comes to inflationary pressures out there at the moment, because just no one really understands. And it actually cited that as being one of the major factors that it's grappling with and other major central banks around the world.
Yeah, it does. There's a lot of similarities in Australia and New Zealand. Our borders are closed. Skill shortages are rampant. Wages are rising. I mean, you know, the Kiwi unemployment rate is 3.5. So if you can't get a job in New Zealand right now, you are certainly not trying. And of course, another element that they introduced was, as you know, there's still some restrictions in Auckland, level 4 or 3, I think they call it. But they also said in the minutes that the board discussed moving more aggressively, but they decided that COVID, along with transitory inflation, COVID could mean an impact on consumer spending and business investment. So it's almost like when they paused in August, it was a wait and see. So now they've tightened with a wait and see. I think 2022 will be a blockbuster in terms of catch-up tightening when it comes to our friends across the ditch.
We'll wait to see what Adrian Orr has to go and say tomorrow during the press conference. Maybe he'll shock us then, but certainly not a lot of surprise today, it's got to be said. One thing I want to go and talk to you about as well is what we're seeing in the US market. Of course, you mentioned, you referenced what's going on. Thanksgiving is coming up tomorrow in the States, so lots of people winding down. But the move that we've seen in US equities and the US rates market through the renomination of Jerome Powell as Federal Reserve Chair, we've seen a big switch back into cyclicals. We've seen a big bear flattening of the curve. So yields are going up across the curve, but they're going up faster at the front of the curve. So we're all starting to go and get itchy about the potential for faster tapering and rate hikes next year. What do you make about some of the moves that we've seen over the past couple of days?
I have to say, and this is shared by, you know, some others in our community, that I think there was significant market pricing of Lael Brainard getting in. And the fact that the market had the correction that it did, and as we talked about yesterday, I mean, where else in the world would a Fed chair renomination cause tech stocks to collapse? Well, it's because there was a material risk of Brainard. She's up there with Janet Yellen, the now Treasury Secretary, when it comes to being dovish, cautious, inflation is transitory, let's not rush tightening. That was probably, I think we've been surprised at how much that was actually priced into the markets. So the fact that Jerome Powell is in for another 3 years, so that means aggressive tapering, potentially aggressive tightening, and as you say, bear flattening of the curve, and equities have moved accordingly.
Yeah, and we get the PCE deflator out tonight as well in the States, which will give us an indication not only about the Fed's preferred inflation measure, but also what's going on with consumption there, because we've got this big, you know, question mark over, you know, consumption levels and how much of what we're seeing, the strength at the moment, is purely due to inflation. So we'll find out that, thankfully, tonight. Also some information about income. So maybe, you know, are we starting to go and see that tightness in the labour market starting to go and really drum up those wage pressures that we so want to go and see. Another thing that we're focusing on here at AusBiz at the moment is the AGM season in Australia. And, of course, one of those was Brickworks. Yesterday, Lindsay Partridge, the MD, joined us on the program. Nadine had a very good chat with him about the outlook for what's going on when it comes to the housing construction, both the pros and cons that we're seeing at the moment in the States and in Australia. So it's a really interesting, what you mentioned, what's going on with the housing construction here and the construction activity, much stronger than what expected.
High levels. Yeah, I mean, I think people get a bit caught up, particularly me in my old macro world, is, you know, oh, there's no growth. But no growth can still mean exceptional levels. And certainly when it comes to construction, it's well above pre-COVID levels. So Brickworks is one of those refreshing companies where the name actually reflects what they do. And so construction in the US and Australia will be at high levels well into next year.
Just glad it doesn't have a Z at the end. It's actually
Brickworks. Just to make it funky.
Yeah, and for those who, no, I encourage you to go watch the video, because Lindsay Partridge has the best setup for an interview that I've ever seen. So you think back to the European Football Championships, the Soccer Championships earlier this year, and Cristiano Ronaldo famously went and said, oh yeah, drink water, and he pushed the Coke to the side. It's almost a carbon copy. So sure, Lindsay, is. I salute you. It was a fantastic setup. You had a great chat today with Niv Dagan from Peak Asset Management. He's
sure
always good
did.
For the small cap space. Anything catch your eye?
Tell you what, there's too many names to remember. So please have a listen in on the Niv Dagan. We went through green hydrogen, and while he did toss Fortescue in there because they promised to have green hydrogen down the track, he rattled off at least three or four small cap names that they're interested in that he said to take a look at. Green hydrogen will be the future. The risk is, of course, is all this money is looking for a project. So there could be a bit of a mismatch between investor keenness for renewable energy and deliverables. But nevertheless, quite a fascinating interview there.
Those who read my view last week will know where I stand when it comes to green hydrogen. Be very cautious. I had a good chat with Jonathan Wu from Premium China Funds. No, really good chat. Now, we've been bandying around about, you know, common prosperity in China, what it means from an investment perspective. Dead set, Jonathan came up with the best answer I've heard to date when it comes to what it actually means and what to look out for. So I encourage you to go have a listen to his chat, because it was really, really revealing and probably has changed my views as to, you know, how to go and play that Chinese market as we enter 2022. Lots of optimism about, of course, no re-stimulation of the economy and the like, but that's not necessarily where you want to be looking at. So have a listen to that one. Speaking of AGMs as well, Harvey Norman.
Harvey Norman.
Now, sales off, but you'd expect that because, you know, this time last year, I mean, everyone was locked at home, everyone had cash at hand, and they were just trying to go and do the best deck out of the home office and like the best home theater.
Keeping in mind that because it's goods, remember we keep talking about, you know, we will see a switch over the coming 12 months about goods into services. And of course, Harvey Norman is 100% goods. So if you're not all decked out, if you don't have the best home office ever, the sharpest computer and the most comfortable ergonomic desk chair. But having said that, we did also highlight with Harvey Norman, it is, again, well above pre-COVID levels. So levels-wise, it's certainly still been full steam ahead for Harvey Norman, a massive beneficiary of lockdown.
Watch those base effects. Well, just coincidentally, Harvey Norman was our stock of the day. So Nadine sat down with Michael Wayne from Medallion Financial and Andrew Page from Stormman.com to get their views on whether Harvey Norman is worth a punt. Take a listen.
So it's no surprise, really, from my standpoint, to see these numbers come back. And it just highlights some of the issues facing some of these retail companies that were beneficiaries of the COVID lockdowns. As you touch upon, there's way more options now out there to go and spend your money on things. Things like Harvey Norman might have to take a bit of a back seat for the near term, at least. Very difficult, I think, to value these companies over the next couple of years, because we're not really sure where the dust is going to settle as we get back to a reality or back to a more normalized environment. So for mine, it's not a buy. It's probably just a sell, to be honest, and focus your attention elsewhere. This is a business that, you know, it's had a really attractive history. I mean, over the long term, their per share earnings have grown at about 10% or so, double-digit rates. They absolutely dominate the space that they operate in. A business is really valued on the all of its future cash flows, discounted back to a present rate. So you've got to look past all of this. And I think those that can actually see opportunity, for me, it's a hold. I think there are better opportunities out there, but it's certainly not as bad as what these initial numbers might look like.
And that is a view there of Harvey Norman. So Annette, let's go and start looking ahead. Thanksgiving is coming up in the States. So We've got a lot of data out tonight in the US.
Bring forward. Yeah, that's right. We've got Fed minutes.
Yep.
PCE. Market's looking for 0.4 month on month. So let's see what that brings. And I think there's a couple more PMIs, because the PMIs that we experienced as we walked in this morning were sort of okay for the US, but geez, they were blockbuster in Europe, which is interesting because we've been talking all this week about those COVID cases and rising restrictions in Europe, but that hasn't filtered into business optimism yet.
Yeah, it's interesting, the timing of the survey. We don't know exactly how much the disruptions have gone and taken impact in this November survey. So this takes about 85-90%. So maybe the stragglers that come through might give us a better indication as to whether...
Maybe they're locked in and couldn't answer the questions.
Exactly right. Well, they didn't have access to internet. Who knows?
Who knows?
It was interesting to see that there wasn't a divergence. There's actually a convergence between the two great economic powers in the oversouths of the Atlantic. Locally, CapEx data, private CapEx.
Again, one for the pointy heads. But again, the quarter on quarter, the market's pretty dour, like down 3-4% quarter on quarter. So let's see if there's what happens with that. And of course, what
estimate are we up to when it comes to the next financial year that we're in now? Because that's where it's going to be a lot of focus.
The next, so not this survey, but the next survey will give us 2 years ahead. So all we get tomorrow will be confirmation of the year ahead. It'll be a mixture of fact and forecast. And last time around, it surprised to the upside. Everyone was looking for expectations to be slashed. But, you know, businesses need to be forward-looking. So I suspect once we digest the quarter-on-quarter, we'll be taking a bit longer. We actually have Michael Blythe, ex-CBA chief economist and now Pinpoint consultant. He'll be running through the data and what it means for the outlook, because the RBA will be watching very closely.
It's going to be a blockbuster on what's going to be probably an otherwise fairly quiet day, you would probably imagine. Of course, we only have a half day's trade in the States on Friday as well. So it's going to be difficult to go and see anything really rocking the boat unless there's some unexpected headlines. Look, we've got another busy day tomorrow, so let's go and call it a day now. We'll see you bright and early on air at 8:30 on Thursday.
See you tomorrow.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.